The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. 10:02 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. It's time of the show. But Lance is actually leaving. He was told to leave, and guess what he did? Hey, Lance, 11 o'clock. Don't forget, he'll leave. See, that's why I got to remind him. 11 o'clock, we're going to cut another edition of Sports Map HOU videos. Brandon's going to get that job done. So the Astros this weekend were the big... It was shocking, but I really wasn't interested. I didn't even watch any golf this weekend. How about that?
What was on that would have even caught your attention?
The Astros played at 3. The Astros played at 1.
But what golf tournament should have even distracted you?
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. The only thing I remember from that was Phil struggled early. He's like, what? I won the PGA. Get off my back.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I don't give a rat. He said, I don't give a rat's ass. I won a PGA. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you heard.
All I heard about that tournament.
That's it. No, that me too. I actually, and this is the first tournament, and I don't know how long I actually didn't even watch a shot.
Well, the Astros were very compelling.
We were busy, though.
You watch like 30 episodes of, what's it called? Startup, and then you watch Astros baseball.
Yeah.
And
I watched basketball, too.
Was there even a good game? I mean.
I did watch I can't say that. I watched a lot of the NCAA tournament, men's tournament. They're playing.
Oh, golf.
In golf.
Oh, golf. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what? I know the softball tournament was going on.
No, the golf tournament's going on.
Okay.
I mean, come on. The most important of all the spring sports.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Because there's baseball and softball and volleyball and all those things. Is volleyball a spring or winter sport? I don't even remember. But the Astros were compelling for right and wrong reasons. They were playing some of the best teams in baseball over the weekend, and they went toe for toe. In fact, were better for most of those games until, it got to closing them out. Then the weakest part of their team was highlighted quite a bit. That's got to get corrected somehow, some way. This team, because of found money, it's not found money anymore. We expect these guys like Fromber and Urquidy to be really good. But because of what those guys became last year and what they are now and they're healthy, this is a title contender if this bullpen could get figured out.
So I'm just amazed that there were four worse bullpens this month than the Astros.
Yeah, I know. We talked about it quite a bit. I think it hurts more because our starters are pretty good and the offense is good.
Yeah.
You blow that many games because you are good enough to take those leads. There are probably teams, bullpens, except for the Giants apparently, are pretty bad too, but teams on bad bullpens on bad teams. It's accentuated, and it's a big deal here because this is a good baseball team who is suffering. Could the Astros have the best record in baseball if not for their bullpen?
They'd be right there. They'd be right. If their bullpen was just even a little
average,
bit better.
Just be average. Just
forget average. Just slightly below average would be awesome.
Yeah.
But just horrific is another story. You got some indelible games. The 7-run 11th inning, the Taylor Jones game.
And you have that includes a massive home run by one of the best players in the game. Taylor Jones, that hurts. But then, okay, you give up a home run or a couple base hits, and maybe you don't even lose the game. But it's you add to that Tatis, one of the best players in all of baseball, did that to you. That becomes a national story as far as baseball can be a national story in May because it's Tatis hitting it. And then, so it's a thing now. You're going to remember that home run every time you see Tatis. Oh, he's the guy who hit one of the longest home runs I've ever seen.
And then Greinke's start against the Padres was awesome, and you still
barely held on.
You
won by enough, but you're always nervous.
Oh, my gosh. And then Scrub beat it.
Yeah.
You can't be here anymore. But in Greinke's last three starts, he's got two starts of 8 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run. And in between, he had the six innings of 4 earned runs. But before that, 7 and 3 earned runs. You'll take that every time.
Yeah.
3 of his last 4 starts have been not only quality starts, but really good starts. He He's 5-2 now on the season, and he's literally your third or fourth best pitcher.
He's got all the pelts on the wall, but as far as ability and currently, you're right.
I mean, who would you rather have watch start? Right.
Who would I rather watch?
I'd rather watch Urquidy.
If you're giving me the option of what will make me the least uncomfortable watching a guy go up there,
did you have the most confidence?
Give me Urquidy and Fromber. Even Fromber coming off the one start.
And Urquidy just getting back.
Yeah. And then whenever Lance is back. Yeah.
McCullers, certainly. Javier? I'd rather watch Javier. Odorizzi's
different.
Odorizzi falls behind Greg.
Yeah, but he came back and was good.
He was really good.
So I think the Astros have I don't know how under the radar it will stay when those guys are all back. One of the stronger rotations in baseball when those guys are all in the rotation.
Garcia's been great.
Yeah.
Garcia has been great.
And you're sending Javier to your bullpen to help save it. And you hope Garcia can do the same when it's his time to leave as well.
And now you've got Garcia tonight against Garrett Richards. Richards has been pretty good. He's got a 3.83. His whip is 1.50, which is okay. Not great. He's 47 strikeouts and 26 walks. You got to get to this guy. He's not a strikeout pitcher. You can wait him out, and you can get a lot of walks. He's given him 55. 1.50 is whip is not good. He's 4-3 on the season. No, you got to get to this guy. How he only has a 3.83 ERA is amazing with as many runners as he has. And he's not a strikeout pitcher. You're going to put the ball in play. You got to get to Garrett Richards tonight. I don't think there's any question about that.
Since Fromber was hurt in spring training, have the Astros had their best 25 at any point this year?
No.
No.
No. I mean, because now that he's back, McCullers is gone.
Yeah.
Alvarez isn't here.
Michael Brantley.
Brantley isn't here. Yuli isn't here.
All year, they haven't had their best 25. No.
And they're one of the better teams in baseball.
Yeah.
And if not for that bullpen, now McCullers comes back, Garcia moves to the bullpen. That's a big plus. Who would you rather see, Garcia or Rayleigh?
Why are you asking me silly questions?
Who would you rather see, Scrub or B?
Yeah, you could pretty much go with every member of the Astros bullpen. The answer would be B, as long as it's not another member of the bullpen.
Well, how about Taylor back?
Okay.
Is Baez still in witness protection?
I don't know if he committed a crime and they're hiding him. I'm not sure that's the reason he's not up.
Speaking of committing a crime, how about Marcelo Ozuna?
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that.
No.
Now, he's out now on bond. He apparently, there was a domestic violence incident at his house. Police showed up. The door was open. They saw him strangling and hitting his wife with his cast. I mean, this is not. And a domestic violence brings what, a year?
For baseball?
No. For jail time.
Oh, okay.
A year.
Well, his wife told the police well, it would make sense considering what he was doing to her. He threatened to kill her as well. And so I don't know if that comes under like terroristic. I don't know what the term is when you threaten to kill someone as far as crime, but as a threat. But I don't think we're going to see this dude.
Well, he's out right now, depending on how long it's going to take. Obviously, Major League Baseball is going to have to act. And you won't see, even though he's hurt, you won't see Marcelo Ozuna for a while. But it's not like now he can say it's a he said, she said. The cops witnessed it.
They watched. They've seen the violence. Yeah. The threats are a different thing. But, yeah, the cops saw what he was doing. So I don't know. So baseball will do their investigation, but I'm not sure how much of an investigation is needed when there's police witnesses.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Once I see the police report, because, I mean, she could lie in to protect him.
Sure.
Or she could lie to hurt him, whatever. Yep. I don't know. You know, we don't know their relationship. But at any point, she could recant. But now the cops are like, no, you told us exactly what happened.
And we saw some of it.
And you told us he threatened to kill you. And now you could recant that, but we pretty much believe that he probably did. This will be a case study for what, first of all, with the cops witnessing it, I don't know how he possibly has any kind of case in court,
mm-hmm.
let alone with Major League Baseball. They just gave him $60 million.
How much has to go on before baseball says, okay, you're just done playing our sport?
You know, I don't know what the Players Association does because it's, you know, you're taking away that $60 million from the guy. But I don't know how you put him back on the field. I'm wondering, even if you're Atlanta and you like the guy, I don't know how you can watch that guy play baseball and go, yeah, I got to cheer for him.
Yeah, I just wonder because I imagine we always hear about the Players Association and their job is to defend their dudes. But what basis do you stand on? Like, what's the line for this? Like, if baseball says you're done for a year, would they fight this? Or would they say, you know what? Yeah, all this seems like that's their appropriate punishment.
No, they have...
I'm sure it's collectively bargained, right?
Games for your first or something, whatever, and then... So baseball has
they've collectively
guidelines.
Bargained that, right?
Yeah.
So they haven't. So there isn't a thing where baseball says, "Do they have a stance where we can just kick you out of baseball for an act?"
I think they have. I don't know that domestic violence has an expulsion from the game. I know PEDS do. Your second or third time, you're done. You can't ever play again. But I'm not sure what the domestic violence. It may be. I'm not sure what it is. But I do know this: if Marcelo Osuna is on my team, I couldn't root for Roberto Osuna. I just couldn't. It was always in the back. I just can't feel good about this guy being on the team. I can't feel good about this guy. And you hate to be a judge and is that judgmental? But knowing what he did, and you know, I want to be able to
root for your guys.
Yeah, good guys.
Yeah, you want to go out there and not have it in the back of your mind that he hit a home run. And then it flashed in your, he did this, though.
Yeah, I don't know that he didn't just make one mistake. I don't know that Osuna didn't do that. It's just hard. I would, you know, Greg Hardy, how could Cowboy fans, how could you after that, after you heard the stuff, that's our guy. I don't know. To me, that's difficult because I want to like the guys that I'm following. That's why that 17 team was so awesome, and it's so hard to hear, you know, that they were, you know, cheating behind the scenes because they were so likable, and now they're hated.
Yeah,
hated team ever.
I don't think you're unique in your stance, but I think I don't even think you'd be surprised. You've been around sport for so long, how easy it is for people to just push it aside because he's on your team.
Yep.
It's like, that's his personal life.
Right. I gave up on LSU under Les because he entitled those kids. He enabled those kids to just do whatever and then brought them back and didn't care. He just cared about winning football games.
Whatever that culture was, they're still suffering the consequences.
It was worse than even we thought.
Yeah, we're still hearing about stuff.
1015 ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. You want to be a champion? Oh, it's easy to be a champion. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and save money. You will love what Champion does for you. Saves you money. It is the best in service. It is best all the way around. If you aren't with Champion Energy, you're spending more money than you have to be. And I'm just telling you. You will love Champion Energy. Tweet me or afterwards, and after you get your first bill, and I guarantee you're going to be like, wow, this really is amazing. Champion.energy/1560. Stop paying more. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 1017 ESPN, 97 and 92.5. So Dell, now, what do you think of Justin Thomas?
Well, I didn't think anything of him until I found out he's the nicest person on the tour, apparently.
So, Big Mike Vasacki, he's been a career mini tour player. He's trying to make it to the bigs, trying to get on tour. He got his first ever, he qualified for his first ever PGA Tour event at the Valspar and didn't make the cut. And then he also got, because of his story, though, he's been forever out there trying. Colonial gave him an invite. He didn't make the cut there either. But Justin Thomas, hearing his story, texted him and said, hey, he messaged me last week, hey, bud, do you want to come have a practice round on Tuesday? And Mike said, yep, I do. He was unbelievable. He was amazed, you know, that Justin Thomas would reach out to him. And then Justin Thomas scratched him a check so that he could keep on playing on the mini tours, so that he could keep on trying to live his dream. So that is really, really pretty cool, given, you know, giving a guy a chance. As much success as Justin Thomas has had, as much money as he's made from the sport, to, you know, give something back to Big Mike to try and keep on going out there, because it is expensive. You can't, it's hard. You talk about, you know, it's $400 to $600 every time you enter an event. You can barely break even unless you win, finish first or second. So it ain't easy out there. And, you know, just like minor league baseball, minor league, trying to, on any kind of a football, minor league, whatever, it ain't easy. Basketball, the G League's, I think, a little bit better now, but, you know, trying to make it wherever you're trying to make it. So that's a pretty cool story. Justin Thomas stepping up and scratching him a check. That's neat stuff. It's heartwarming, though. When you read that story, did you shed a tear or feel like a little bit choked up?
I didn't shed a tear, feel choked
did
up.
Did you? You were choked up a little
no,
bit.
No, I wasn't choked up. I just thought to myself, hey, look at Justin Thomas. That's a good guy.
Yeah.
Unlike the rest of the dudes on the tour who ain't scratching checks. What about the rest of these guys?
Justin Thomas is also the guy that earlier this year dropped an F-bomb.
What? Which F-bomb?
Yeah, the other one.
Oh.
Yeah, he called himself that when he left the putt short.
He called himself that? Yeah. Look, we've all said something about ourselves that wasn't nice.
Yeah.
He just happened to do it where people could
hear it. Microphone was on.
Yeah, that is the problem.
And it went over the television broadcast.
Yes, I know. That is all. Those are all problems for Justin Thomas. But we've all called ourselves things. You can't. I've called myself the R word, and you can't say that anymore.
No.
No.
I would never say that. No. But he, he lost sponsors, too.
That's a rough one.
Yeah. It was a little rough time for him. He apologized. I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
He goes, hey, I can't call myself that.
Hey, I'm saying about me.
No, Justin, not when mics are on. Don't say
no,
it.
No, you can't. You really can't say that.
No.
So, no, that's neat stuff. You see, giving back like that, that's great. I don't know what the check was. Maybe it was $20. I don't know.
What? No. How does that keep a guy going? $20.
We don't know.
He broke that guy off something to keep that guy going, which is nice.
Yeah. And then there's Naomi Osaka, who withdrew from the French Open this weekend. I don't know if you were listening to any radio this weekend or watching much television.
Did people have opinions on this?
Yeah, I mean, I heard both sides. Matt was listening to Max Kellerman for a while. I don't know why I was driving around at that time, but I was listening to him, and he put segment after segment about this. And there were listeners that were like, oh, wait, I don't have any sympathy for her. She got an obligation. She wouldn't be rich and famous if it wasn't. You need to do that. If that's part of your job, that's part of your job. I understand all that. Listen, the media is a conduit. Lamont, it is. The media is a conduit, too. I'm not following every athlete to find out what they have to say.
Not all of them do that type of talking. Like, not all of them go on Twitter or Instagram and talk about their performances.
No, they don't. and they don't talk about, you know, I want to know what were you thinking at that point, or, you know, how this is affecting, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes the media asks pertinent questions, and actually you get some information out of, don't act like this. I can follow my, you can follow every athlete, Lamont, on social media.
Yeah, and then let them sell you their vitamin water, whatever they're selling. I mean, some athletes are very open about things, but they're not going on Instagram to talk about the performance. It's not what they're about. Not on those platforms.
Now, the media also has gone way too far.
Yeah, some negativity.
It's invasive. It's probably, especially for her in Japan, I don't think there's any limits. I'm not trying to generalize here, but I think it would probably be a much rougher to be a superstar in an Asian country.
Yeah, like Yao as a superstar, he lived most of his, at least professional, his life here in terms of, he was here in the season for months at a time. I wonder what Yao would be like, what his life would have been like if he was an NBA star and he spent 8 months in China for that.
Yeah.
It's a different deal. Oh. I mean, you saw the media that came over here to cover him. What would it have been like over there consistently?
Well, it's amazing when any of our stars go over there, the amount of paparazzi and the just the crush of not only media but fans. They're really fanatical about stars there in a way that even worse than here.
Yes. Now she lives in America now, which wouldn't make sense. She's a.
But you know the Japanese media.
Yes, certainly. Yes.
Probably camps outside her house every night.
Yeah, I mean, she's a tennis star, so obviously I'm not locked in on it, but I imagine she's dealing with that. And we talked about it before. This appears to have been something that's building, because I don't remember any time where she said, I'm not doing media before. Like, she did these things, win or lose, and maybe she didn't like it very much, but she did it. I just think we pretend like mental health is this flat line where you're always here when it's not. Maybe months ago at other tournaments, she can handle it. Leading up to this one, she knew, I'm at a breaking point with this. I don't think I can handle it.
Well, let's not forget she's young, too.
I think, 23 now? Yeah.
Yeah, but a couple of years ago, when she won the U.S. Open against Serena and she was booed.
That hit her heart.
She said that's where it started.
Yeah.
I don't know, her self-esteem, what people think of her must have been so important. Or what? Hey, you win your first major and you get booed? So since then, she says that it's been awfully difficult. She has high anxiety before she meets the media. All of these things could be true.
Yeah, I know Lance was providing the other side. It's very hard for me to just assume, not necessarily that he believed it, but just some of the opinions of others. It's very hard for me just to assume that this is a con just because. And what would be her reasoning? Just because she didn't want to talk? Is that why she would be trying to con people out of not talking? There's nothing really wrong with her. She just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, or maybe they're a bit too aggressive in Japan and they've gotten, she is jaded by the media and doesn't want to. Like, look at Marshawn Lynch. Like guys who just. Russell Westbrook have just been like, I ain't doing this anymore.
And those guys didn't lean on the mental health of it. They said, I don't want to do this.
I don't like you.
Yeah, I don't particularly enjoy.
You guys write a lot of crap that's incorrect.
Yeah,
and unfair. So I don't want to deal with you anymore. And Russell, she's not claiming any of that.
No, Russell Westbrook would do it. He just wouldn't be very. It wouldn't be good. He wasn't giving you anything when he did do it. Yeah, I just take it at face value until I'm given a reason not to. This is something that's built, and she said, this time I can't deal with it. So
it's interesting now. She is getting some backing now, while there are the detractors and those who doubt her. She is getting some Martina Navratilova, Pam Shriver. They've gotten behind her. And so it'll be interesting to see going forward how the WTA and the other majors are going to handle her and whether or not they can make accommodations for her. Now, if you make accommodations for her, then others as well who have the same, not the same issues, but have issues with the media.
Yeah, I wonder, are they going to need a note from a psychiatrist that she suffers from this? And that's why, I don't know how you handle it.
Take her at her word.
Yeah, that's, how other about, than that,
how,
yeah.
Okay, how about a special circumstance for her in which you hand her questions and she can email the answers, or something where she doesn't have to be, or Zoom everything with her. I mean, because Zoom is a thing now, and this way she doesn't have to face them. She will get the questions still. I don't know if that'll give her anxiety, but in some way, shape, or form, you can placate her yet still get your achievable goal.
And do we know, is it the person-to-person aspect of it, or just simply being asked to talk about your performance that is the issue for her?
I think it's the person. The person is the impression that I got.
Okay. There are ways.
Mass media.
And you might call it preferential treatment, but stars get preferential treatment all the time. And she is one of their stars, so if they really need and believe that it's important for her to speak, they will make these accommodations, and we can get into rail about what's fair and what's not. Well, the stars get better treatment, and that's just how it is. And if they want her and she agrees to it, maybe you accommodate her so you can have your star not withdraw from one of your major tournaments.
Yeah.
If that's the way it has to be.
And, well, we'll see. I mean, her – I'll tell you. After they threatened her, saying we're gonna kick you out, she's like, "Nah, I'll just leave.
Yeah, I'll take the fine you gave me and then leave."
That was a bit. Now it made it an even bigger story. While she thought, and she said, "I don't want to be a distraction to the other players," it made it worse.
Yeah, and she said the reason, one of the reasons she left was because, look, she mentioned obviously her mental health, but look, the story has become about me, and you know, there's a tournament going on, and the other people are involved, so I'm just going to leave, and I guess I'm adding my part to it. I guess it'll be a thing for a couple of days, and then you guys can focus on, you know, the French Open, one of the biggest tournaments
in all of tennis. Instead, every player's being asked about her.
Yeah, as I said, it'll be a thing for a couple of days, and hopefully for the tournament and those players that once we get it, it's only like the first round, right? We're moving. Well, she would have had a second round match tomorrow. So hopefully for those players, it's a thing a couple days, and as this tournament gets deeper in, they can just play tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine it's going to go. It'll die down, but it'll have an asterisk. It's like when Michael Jordan didn't play.
No, there's no asterisk next to the Rockets' titles.
There's an asterisk, whoever wins this title, you didn't have the number one player in the world there.
Well, number one player in the world doesn't always win. Jordan always won. There was a difference. From the time he started winning, he never lost titles. So that was the difference. She hasn't always won. She's never won the French Open.
Yeah, but even still, it's an asterisk.
Okay.
10:30, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got anything that you want to talk about from the weekend? What about your Astros? Anything? What about your Texans, what they did this weekend?
Name a thing they did.
I don't.
What would they have done?
I don't know. They got named. Two linebackers got named to the top 32 in the.
They didn't do that.
They
didn't name them that.
They were there. They were standing there.
No, they weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. They were in the list, so there. And Laremy Tunsil was in the list of best tackles in the league, so there.
You excited about these lists?
Nah, I didn't even know they existed until this morning. Mm-hmm. It's 10:30, ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
I'm in love with the go-go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
So, I just had a buddy text me, what, no Indy 500 talk? I really did. I saw a story this weekend that said Helio Castroneves says he's the Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods of racing. And I was wondering why he said that. It turns out the Indy 500 was this weekend.
Oh, you're wondering why it was even in your view that this guy was talking?
Yeah. I mean, okay, I just thought out of nowhere.
Is he that type of driver?
I don't know. I've heard of him before.
So have I. So he's won the Indy 500
four times. How many? Four?
Yes, four. Yeah,
four times.
And he won it over the weekend.
Is that like, where is that on the list? Most Indy?
Most ever?
And most Indy 500 wins ever?
I don't know.
Well, we can say, it's impossible to find out.
Would you like to look that up?
Indy 500 wins.
And he's raced in.
Who has the most Indy 500 wins? No, this is a complete list of the champions. He's got four, though. And, boy, he's been doing it a while.
I think he tied. He joins Elite Company with his fourth win.
Who has the most Indy 500? A.J. Foyt.
Al Unser Sr., Rick Mears.
A.J. Foyt has four. Al Unser.
Sr.
Four.
And Rick Mears.
Rick Mears has four. And now Helio Castroneves. Don't you have to have more than the other guys?
To be the Michael Jordan?
Well, Michael Jordan doesn't have as many as Bill Russell.
Yeah. So I think he just said, in modern times, I'm the best driver of all time.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen him.
I have, because when I, growing up, I used to like IndyCar racing more than NASCAR. For whatever reason, in California.
Should we get Trey on to talk about this?
I don't know. Does he know a lot about IndyCars?
I know he was wild. I saw him tweeting about something about racing or something.
I'm sure he has knowledge. Probably not to the level of his NASCAR knowledge, but there was an Indy race in Long Beach when I was growing up. We would go down there and see him set up quite a bit. Couldn't get to the race just because, my dad didn't care that much that he was going to pay for tickets to watch the race when we could watch it on TV. Yeah. But he would take me down there when they're setting up and see the course and stuff. And so Indy was a thing for me. I don't know if Helio Castroneves is the Michael Jordan of the sport.
I went once, and it was loud.
Yeah.
I was in the infield. It was a party now.
I'm sure.
It was a party. So, yeah, that's all I remember. I was wasted. That's all I know.
Well, congratulations.
I don't remember what year it was or who won or anything. I know it was loud. Every time it came, it's like, man, can't you guys quiet this down? No, I'm trying to party over here.
That's how the
car
sounds.
There were giant campers and RVs in the middle. Everybody was. It was just a party. It was cool.
I went to one.
But they had a race there, too, at the time.
I went to one NASCAR race. In Florida, I was born in Daytona, so that's the home of Daytona 500. But it was like the Pepsi, whatever the Pepsi race in the summer is called. And Jeff Gordon won. And in that race, one of his sponsors was Pepsi besides the whatever other his main sponsor. So they would flip the car to a Pepsi car just because it was a Pepsi whatever. And on that day, he won. So the entire country won like their new Pepsi was at the time. This was back in the early 2000s, so Pepsi had a new thing. And they gave out like 6-packs of Pepsi to everyone who left. If you wanted one, they just handed you Pepsis, like a 6-pack. Hey, you wanted a 24? Here, take it. Because their boy won the race.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, and I believe
there's a lot of people there.
Well, yeah, it was a super speedway. So I think if you like had a voucher, you could the rest of the country could get free Pepsis, or at least for that particular. That particular edition, whatever it was, I forgot what it was called, but yeah, they were just handing out Pepsis, and of course, kids are like, hey, go back, keep going back, they're not going to recognize you, keep taking Pepsis, and that's what we did. That's my one experience.
I wasn't
drunk, though.
Now, why couldn't you just take the Pepsi that they gave you? Now,
because it was all free.
But
they're like,
you were supposed to just take your one.
No, it wasn't one. They say, hey, how many Pepsis would you like, and if you wanted a 6-pack, they give you a 6-pack. And they're like, and it was like 10 of us. All the cousins were there. So we loaded up on Pepsis.
I mean, you can't just take what you just drink and then move on and let other people. You know what? Pigs get fed. Hogs get slaughtered.
Did I just not point out to you that it was the Pepsi whatever, so they had plenty of Pepsi to go around?
Yeah. I mean, I just, when just you get take offered, what is yours.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Stop looting Pepsi.
It's not looting if they give them to you. I'm not going to listen to you. How many? Do you just take one free beer?
Yeah, that's all.
That's not true.
No, so there's enough for everybody.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's a giant lie.
Did you see that for the first time in U.S. history, a sports venue had a legal bookmaker?
Well, I did because I put the story there.
So yeah, yes, I saw that.
Right. I saw that. I put it there.
So William Hill Sportsbook was at Capital One Arena before the game. Now, they've been at this arena, only I guess they didn't allow them to do it on game days.
I guess so.
I guess that's the case, because Capital One Arena in September did $12.2 million in bets. But apparently, they couldn't do it while a live sporting event was there, but they did yesterday. And they said, or there was a, not, not, was it yesterday? No, it was the previous game. It was May 31st. Wait a minute.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Saturday. No, Saturday at Capital One, because this was the game that the Sixers won.
Okay.
They lost. They won a little bit of money on that game, the Sixers-Wizards, because people, and their home, right? Their home team, they're going to bet on the home team, mm-hmm. right? Even though it is the Wizards against the Sixers. He said the game itself accounted for 40% of the money wagered. And they won a little bit of money on the Sixers-Wizards game, but they lost overall on basketball that day. And they also did the Chelsea-Man U game.
Man
City?
The Champions League final.
The Champions League final, which Chelsea won.
Yes.
Which Christian Pulisic becomes the first American player to ever be on a champion.
Yeah, there was another guy who was on a team but did not play. This is the first guy to ever play in a game.
So they lost on that. They said they didn't, or they had betting for that. People came early to bet on that. Then they went to the game, and then they stayed and were betting on the Utah game afterwards. So this thing stayed open, and the arena stays open for this sports book. And they said they did their biggest handle ever that day. And this is something, Dell, that will happen in every sports arena by 2030. Even here in Texas. By 2030, every basketball arena and football arena, and baseball too probably, will all have live sports gambling.
Yeah, so I'm looking at trying to find the timeline. So as you mentioned, this has been at the arena for a little bit. They've had like soft launches where you can bet in the ticketing area, and then you could and use their app for it. But they cut the ribbon earlier. Well, last week now, but this was when the first time they were full go, where they're like, no, now we're just a true sports book now. Everything you can do in a regular sports book, you can do here. So they've kind of kind of shifted towards it. Now they're all in. Like, if you guys want to, like, when the Caps and Wizards are playing, you want to place a bet on the college game that's going on right now?
Step right up.
All right, we'll take your money.
Step right up, and you can bet on your game. I'm telling you, this is the wave of this, because this is where you are going to get that extra and a big extra money.
You think they'll open, like, basketball season begins in October. When does hockey season begin? I don't know.
Around that time.
Do you think they'll open, like, they'll be open September 1st week of college football?
No, they're open when the arena's closed.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
They're open when the arena's closed.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is it is definitely going to it's the future, because that's where, you know, how they're always trying to take nickel and dime, find any way to make any money. This is going to be big money. Big, big, big money.
I think Tillman's like, hey, Texas.
Hey, Texas.
Wake the F up.
By 2030, Texas is going to wake up to
you
it.
You would imagine.
Yep. All right. When we come back, news of the weird coming your way right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
I don't know if this is right. This is the way it should be. Apparently, there's a Florida concert. If you are vaccinated, your tickets cost $18. And if you're not, it's $1,000.
Well, I guess we know who they want in their building or at their concert. Concert venues, who determines prices? Is it the band, the person who books it, or the concert venue
itself? The promoter.
Oh, the promoter.
The promoter. Teenage Bottle Rocket, Make War, and Rutterkin. These all bands, they're all punk rock.
Okay. I think I may have heard of Teenage Bottle Rocket, not the other two.
Yeah. So, Dell, which one do you want to pay, $18 or $1,000?
Well, I would rather pay $18, and I would pay $18 because I am fully vaccinated, so I wouldn't be paying $1,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got that proof, right?
Yes, I had the cards in my car.
Yeah. I think I got mine. I don't know.
Yeah, I kept it. It's in the side, in the door, just to make sure. I keep it there.
Apparently, there's a convict who was paroled. But he says he's staying because it's safer than outside during the pandemic. Apparently, he hasn't heard of this new thing we like to call vaccination.
So, a guy who was in prison, I thought prisons were like a hub for people getting COVID because, you know, they're not getting vaccinated in there and they're all on each other. I guess maybe not his.
43 were slated to be paroled. He's the only one. Ashish Kumar says, nah, I'm staying.
You know, you don't have to be around people when you're out, right?
Says you. Well, I think you live a different life than everybody.
He doesn't have to be around people, right?
He
can just isolate himself until, you know, the pandemic is over, I guess.
Well, Dell, this story you might find interesting. The world's only alpine parrot apparently has moved to the mountains to get away from people.
That parrot has the right idea.
Intelligent and mischievous, New Zealand's kiwi were once present in other parts of the country. Researchers found an adaptability could help them survive habitat loss in that they just don't want to be around people.
Good for that parrot.
Yeah, good. I mean, I think this is your kind of parrot.
First
right?
of all, it's endangered already.
Yeah.
So it knows what's the most likely thing to take me out. Oh, these humans that I have to deal with. Let me get away from them and see if I can thrive.
Right.
Shout out to that parrot.
Well, here's a little cop-on-cop violence. Apparently, the two policemen had an arm wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
The loser shot dead. The winner was shot dead.
So, poor loser.
Yeah. The police officer was initially reported to have shot himself dead, turned out to have been killed by a fellow officer after losing in an arm wrestling during their drinking session.
Do you think guns should be around when you're drinking?
Yeah, I mean, it seems they're cops. Like, what if somebody comes in and somebody tries to steal
in the cop
break
bar?
Into your house?
Weren't they in a bar?
I think they were in their house.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I know it's an unintended consequence of the drinking and the arm wrestling, but I would say, guys, can we lock the guns away?
Yeah, we're going to start drinking here. Well, if you lock them away, but then somebody breaks in, how are you going to get them?
You make a point, but maybe if you're going to drink.
Could also be your wife and kids coming home, but you might, you know
you're
what?
You're drunk and you don't know.
I was
know.
Drunk.
Yeah. These are, I don't know. It just feels like the alcohol and the competitiveness of the arm wrestling could have predicted something like this happening.
Yeah. This isn't a story that you're going to like, Del. China apparently is going to allow couples to have up to 3 children now in an attempt to reverse falling birth rates.
Imagine that. When you minimize, when you say you can only have this amount of kids, your birth rates go down. I don't agree with forcing people to limit their, you know, the number of kids they have. I just wish people would come to that conclusion on their own.
China had a one-child policy introduced in 1979. And for more than 35 years, limited couples to a single offspring as the country tried to address overpopulation and alleviate poverty.
So now...
You think that's probably a good idea.
No, I'm not saying...
You want to have... What? Don't you think the government should say... No one can have any more kids.
No, I'm not saying the government should have any say in how many kids you have or how many kids you don't have or, you know, control of your body. What I'm saying is I wish people would come to that conclusion on their own. Like, hey, 2 is enough. That's enough. Do I need a third? What for? I wish just people would come to their own conclusions. But if they so choose to have more children, that is their right.
Right, right.
I just wish they come to a different conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of us.
for everybody. I don't understand people sometimes. A Tennessee woman is facing charges. She was arrested driving through a local COVID-19 vaccination site yelling, "No vaccine!"
What's wrong with her?
Why?
What's wrong with her?
Why do you care if other people are getting vaccines if you don't want? If you don't think, I've heard this. Oh yeah, I'm just gonna wait. I want to see what are the long term results. Are you gonna wait 20 years? That's what you want
to
see?
Like I was one of those people who thought to themselves, look, I don't want to become a zombie, so I'm gonna wait. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna get version one. I'll get version two or three, and I feel like I got version two with Pfizer. I mean, I feel like I'm cool with that because Pfizer had less of the side effects, I guess. But I wasn't going to wait 10 years and go, look, 10 years later, at some point, it was either I wanted to get it or I wasn't going to get it. What I'm not going to do is waste my time going to a site and yelling, no vaccines. What?
Why?
Why? Why would I do that?
I know.
I don't have anything else to do.
Do you think that they're going to, in some way, shape, is that going to harm you?
Look, I'm one of those people, you point it out all the time. I don't do much because I don't want to be around people. But the limited things I want to do, I'm not going to not do them because I'm going to drive to a vaccine site and be like, I got to cause a problem.
Yep. One unsuspected consequence of marijuana becoming legalized, drug-sniffing police dogs, early retirement.
Well,
we got to put them down early.
No, they didn't say put them down, did they? That's terrible.
Well, you know, or just let them sit around and get fat.
No, you said put them down. That's different than let them sit around. I'm sure they could find different things for those dogs to do.
Like what? That's all they do.
Train them to sniff out meth and coke. There are other drugs.
Yeah, but some are trained just in marijuana.
Then let them go run on a farm or something. You don't got to put them down.
Those dogs, lazy-ass dogs.
It's not their fault.
No.
They were working.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Look, I know.
They ain't working no more. Well, just laying around collecting.
Collecting
Social
what?
Security.
That's not how dogs work.
Apparently, this happened in Kanpur, Dell.
I don't know what that is.
It's a country.
Okay.
If
you say so.
And the bride died during her wedding, mm-hmm. So her sister replaced her and married the boyfriend.
What'd she look like? Did he come out ahead on this?
You know, it's hard to tell.
Is she more likely to do stuff?
She looks a little like Anthony Davis. She's got a unibrow.
That is a terrible comparison for your new wife.
I don't know.
She looks a little like Anthony Davis. I don't want that.
Quote, here's the quote. A daughter was lying dead in one room and another daughter's wedding was being solemnized in another room. We have never felt such disparate emotions. The pain of her death and the happiness of the wedding have not yet been fully assimilated.
Wait, the wedding?
That's the uncle.
The wedding that you weren't even planning on is at the same level of this girl dying? What?
You'd think they would have called it up and maybe waited a day.
But even
she died. They picked her up, put her in the other room.
But even if
what are you doing? Come over here.
Even if the rules or whatever their customs forced them to have a wedding, how could the new wedding be on the same level?
Pick her up.
Yeah,
pick her up. Move her to that room.
How could that balance out the death of one? The new I mean, they're kind of even in terms of how we feel.
They're not quite.
They're quite
as empathetic as we are here.
Oh my gosh.
We're done. Charlie Pololo's next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.